Good afternoon, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart along with Randy Conan and Megan Turnquist. Cool and freezing temperatures caused some concern for planted soybeans in the last few days. At this time, University of Minnesota Extension agronomist Seth Nave hasn't heard much about significant damage to those soybeans.
We actually haven't heard anything. There was a crops call from Extension folks in Minnesota yesterday, and there weren't any real notifications of any widespread frost damage in soybeans. And I'm sure there was corn that got nipped back a little bit, but most farmers just aren't very concerned about just damaging those upper leaves. And we didn't have temperatures that would freeze down low enough to get to a growing point. So I think for the most part, I think there was a lot of nights that got really close to being scary, but I think for the most part, we pretty much dodged it.
Nave says it is possible for reports of damage to pop up later. In the meantime, Minnesota planting conditions are a tale of two worlds.
Got a lot of Minnesota that's really dry. I mean, things got in early and planted in, and we've just had a few showers have gone through, but our atmosphere has been so dry, we just haven't, whenever we've had rain come through, we get a tenth or even just hundreds out of some of these things that have come through. And then there's pockets as well along west central Minnesota. I've got a farmer working with for some research plots, and he's in a small area west of Morris that none of the farmers have even turned a wheel. So, and then you get in the Red River Valley, of course, and everything's still a little bit slow.
Cold and wet conditions are a reality across the region. Pioneer field agronomist Larry Lunder does not see much impact from the recent freezing temperatures.
Well, the good thing is that we are this far enough behind on our planting that there's not much sitting in the ground where there could be an issue. We'd certainly like to see warmer soil temps than what we've seen.
And there continues to be a lot of indecision about acreage.
It's almost a daily thing that they change their mind. They're into something, and then they're out of it, then they're back into it. It's just tough to say.
Lunder expects to see growers move to earlier maturing corn hybrids. There's been some switching to soybeans, and sunflowers are popular.
This year's planting season has yet to begin for many farmers in central North Dakota. Soil temperatures are still seasonably cool in places. Central Plains Hannaford location agronomy manager Steve Perry says areas south of Highway 200 are still very wet.
Well, we're still living the hangover of the September rain. Fields are still very wet. We get a few days of drying, and then we get a little more rain, so nothing's really drying per se. So we're just hoping to get a stretch of 5 days of 70 to 80 degree weather and dry some of these fields out and get back at it. But in this region here, there's very little to almost nothing's been planted in our immediate Hannaford area here.
Perry says some fertilizer has been spread north of Highway 200 on sandier soils. The demand for fertilizer has not been as pressing as the past two planting seasons.
If you look across the country, the I states are completely done with corn. So as far as nitrogen supply into North Dakota right now, it's really good. There should be no shortages anywhere of fertilizer. And then as acres shift, and we probably won't see as much corn planted, that'll free up some more fertilizer. So we're all sitting here with fertilizer plants plumb full basically and ready to roll. So once it dries out.
Again, there hasn't been much chance for farmers to get fertilizer applied last fall, so that extra work is getting done this spring. CHS Ag Services agronomy manager Chris Colsto says it's been hectic, but manageable.
We've been going now for a couple weeks in some areas, and we got like Grand Forks and Larimore that are really on just the front side of it. It's just kind of starting to get going, so it varies across our region, but it's been fast and furious. Moving a lot of product out in a short time because there's very little got done last fall.
Colsto says there has been no issue resupplying fertilizer.
But resupply has been coming in good. We've unloaded one unit train of urea so far, and we got a couple more to dump yet, and we're unloading a phosphate train, a unit train now too. So resupply has been good. We'll be in good shape, but it's going pretty well. But we're getting some rain today, and hopefully a day or so, maybe by Friday, we're rolling again. So if we can keep the rain away another week of running, things could get a lot. We could get a lot done.
By the end of the month, USDA's National Ag Statistics Service will be contacting North Dakota survey respondents who previously reported unharvested corn and soybeans. If the new data shows a need for changes, NAS said they will update their January 10th estimates in the June 11th crop production report. USDA's stocks are also subject to review.
The weekly report from the Energy Information Administration shows ethanol production for the week ending May 8th at 617,000 barrels per day, up 3% from the previous week. Ethanol stocks are down 5% from the previous week at 24.2 million barrels.
Standard Grain President Joe Vaklovic says ethanol demand has been the biggest driver of the corn market, so the weekly Department of Energy reports are being closely watched by grain traders.
You know, the ethanol situation, the lack of production, the lack of demand, it has been the biggest problem for the corn market as of late. And those reports, which usually will vary a couple of percentage points per week. We're grinding corn for ethanol at 60% of the pace that we were a year ago. So things have really shifted because of this virus and because of the lack of demand for corn via the ethanol industry. So we're very closely watching these weekly reports for signs of improvements in stocks and production, that sort of thing.
For more information from the Red River Farm Network, you can visit Facebook and Twitter. You can also find stories, podcasts, and more at rrfn.com. Reporting agriculture's business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. While the details of direct payment rates in the coronavirus food assistance program aren't released yet, Farm Service Agency is preparing farmers and ranchers for sign-up. To sign up, farmers will need to be in contact with their county FSA office to schedule an appointment. Farmers can start gathering and understanding recent sales and inventory. An acreage report isn't required at the time of application. Once the rulemaking process is complete, the application period will be open and subject to eligibility. More details can be found at rrfn.com.
House Democrats introduced a $3 trillion bill for additional COVID-19 relief yesterday. Included in the HEROES Act is funding for the biofuels industry. A renewable fuel reimbursement program would pay biofuel makers based on the number of gallons produced from January through May. Growth Energy CEO Emily Score says the ethanol industry welcomes the support.
You have seen expressions of support for this from most recently this week, 70 mayors across the Midwest, but also governors, senators, and representatives, bipartisan, have weighed in on the importance of short-term assistance that allows plants to remain afloat, that makes sure that they can meet employee payroll and make sure that those employees maintain access to health care. The reason being, as a result of plummeting fuel demand, biofuel production has really been cut in half.
Score thinks it could be easier for the bill to get votes in the House than the Senate, as the Senate has other priorities for the next relief package. Score says it's important for biofuels relief to remain intact. It is unknown if the relief will come too late for the industry.
It's hard to say. Many plants were able to benefit from the Small Business Administration loans and grants and the payment protection plan. So many small plants were able to apply for and receive that assistance, and that kind of created a bridge period where they can meet payroll for several weeks. However, not all ethanol plants qualified for that. We are going to need to see this in the short term because, as I said, just about half the industry had to come offline. And some plants are starting to come back little bit by little. But our concern is that there will be plants who close and they just don't open back up when all is said and done.
The House is expected to vote on the HEROES Act on Friday.
The National Pork Producers Council is supportive of the livestock provisions included in that HEROES Act. The bill would include compensation for euthanized livestock that can't be processed into food, expanded direct payments to livestock farmers, and increased funding for animal health surveillance.
Senators Chuck Grassley of Iowa, John Tester of Montana have introduced a spot market bill. That would require each U.S. meat processing facility that harvests over 125,000 head of cattle each year to purchase 50% of their weekly slaughter volume on the open or spot market. Here's U.S. Cattlemen's Association Vice President Justin Tupper, who also manages the St. Ange Livestock in South Dakota.
In the north, we do a pretty good job with some of these cash cattle sales. Iowa was close to 40-some percent on average. Nebraska is somewhere in the 30% range. But in the south, they're less than 10% sold in the spot cash market on average week. So we really think that as we can get that leverage pendulum to swing back to the producer, meaning that they have to go out and compete for these cattle, that they have to bid on the cattle, they have to go to your place and say, you know, we offer you this, and the producer would have the opportunity to say, no, I think I'll wait to see what this cash market's going to do and develop it.
The livestock mandatory reporting program will expire September 30th. Tupper says this spot market bill language is expected to play a role in conversations about program changes.
This language in this bill, as it is being floated around, could be pulled right into mandatory price reporting and inserted there, and then work through negotiations through the Senate Ag Committee to get that reauthorized. It may stay as a standalone political arena. It's hard to say how some of this stuff works out, but right now we believe that it'll be up there as a standalone bill, and it'll be worked on, and maybe some changes, modifications made to it, and then hopefully pulled right into mandatory price reporting and inserted, and then we're on our way to spot market.
Red River Farm Network is now on Spotify. You can follow the Red River Farm Network, Transformation, and Engage podcasts on Spotify as well. You can also listen to these podcasts and more at rrfn.com. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture here on the Red River Farm Network. The South Dakota FFA Association has named Danny Herring as their new executive secretary. Herring is currently an ag education instructor at Wall High School. Herring says agricultural education needs to be prioritized in South Dakota schools.
The FFA experience can't be overshadowed. And the things that you learn, real-world skills and things like that that you learn in FFA have to be considered as well when kids are making those decisions. And I think there has to be an opportunity somewhere that we can kind of capitalize on those students that I think we're losing in some places. And we just have to continually grow with the kinds of students that are in the high schools and middle schools in South Dakota.
During the final session of the virtual South Dakota FFA convention, a new state officer team will be named. Herring is looking forward to working with the group in the year ahead.
That's one of the things I'm looking forward to the most, is being able to work with state officers and see them grow and develop as leaders and promoters of this organization. And I'm really excited about that. I'm excited for Thursday to see who the new officers are.
Herring doesn't have an official start date at this time, but hopes to begin in June. The South Dakota FFA convention continues today with award sessions in the afternoon, followed by the live second general session at 7 p.m. Our coverage presented by the South Dakota Farmers Union and South Dakota Corn Council.
July Minneapolis wheat up rather down 12 and a quarter at 508 and three quarters. July Chicago wheat down 12 at 502 and three quarters. July Kansas City wheat down 13 and a quarter. July corn down 3 1/4 at 319. December corn down 3 at 332 and three quarters. July beans down 12 at 840. November beans down 10 and three quarters at 846 and a quarter. June live cattle down $2.17 at 95. May feeder cattle down $2.05. August down 285 at 132.90. May lean hogs up 5 cents. June down $2.67. A friendly reminder on the farm calendar, the USDA Ag Marketing Service and Farm Service Agency hosting a webinar tomorrow at noon for producers interested in applying for the direct payments through the Corona Food Assistance Program. This is the Red River Farm Network.